If you have your Bibles, quickly, let's start again today from the book of Psalms 23. Let's use that one to start today, Psalm 23. Let's read together from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Let's rise to our feet, everybody. Let's just take that, use that one to start. And I want you to talk like you're alive and well, like you're present there. If you're alive and well, say amen.
Amen.
If God is blessing you, say amen.
Amen.
If the Spirit of Christ inside you is giving life to your mortal body, say amen.
Amen.
If he's healing you of every kind of ailment and has given you perfect health, I want to shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
All right, say after me. Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Say it. I'm not afraid of anything.
I'm not afraid of lack,
because the Lord is my shepherd.
You
know, one of the things people don't understand, and that's what faith is. When you make decisions in life, it's a reflection of what you really believe. I said before, it is not allowed. No, we have to say this thing squarely, straight, purely. It is not allowed for Christians to save up for their future. Did you hear what I said? Sufficient unto the day is what? I was reading a tweet from, what's the name of this man in Purpose Driven Life? Rick Warren. Yeah, he was saying something in one of the tweets. I read it this morning. And he explained the fact that he said people should relax. They shouldn't forget. God still takes care of tomorrow. Something like that. You know, you live in a society where they teach you to plan everything, your whole life, totally. People often forget those things. All right? And how you relate with things in life is a reflection of what you actually believe concerning your future. A lot of people are, you know, they are opposite of generous as givers, all right? Not because they want to be wicked, but because they have to take care of tomorrow. But this scripture is teaching us that I am not allowed to be worried about it. What will happen in 20 years' time? What should I worry about? Nobody knows, actually. I hope you know nobody knows. The people are saying, bring up, give us your money so that we can be sure that 20 years' time you'll be safe. They also are not safe. Half of those telling you that will be sacked before that time. Are you getting my point? After the other ones that are not sacked, half will not have. The number will die. Some will gamble away your money. No human, I'm telling you the truth, no human being can assure you of anything. You hear what I said? Please don't ever put your faith in any human institution, not a bank, an investment company. They disappear, they collapse. I say it all the time, Bernard Madoff. Everybody gave him money. Multiply our money for us. Do this one for us. Then one day, they went there, there was no money. What happened? He has no explanation. The man had no explanation. The money just disappeared. Actually, a lot of the money, people said he stole 70, how many billions? 70-something billion dollars. Actually, he didn't steal it. He paid it back to them. That is, he'll tell you that, give me $1 million, I'll be guaranteeing you $200,000. The truth is that he just now want to pay other people, he isn't new people to. It's a Ponzi scheme, a pyramid scheme. And all of them are angry with him. I said, why are you angry with him? You shouldn't be angry with people who are doing the will of God. Did you hear what I said? Shouldn't be angry. The Bible says, if you lay up treasure on the earth, moths destroy, and thieves do break in and steal. The man is the thief that broke in and stole. I'm not saying you should be happy and give him a national award. Although, actually, I think the man should be freed from prison. Yes, you know why? I don't have time to talk about it. I think the man should be freed from prison. Do you know why? He did not do anything more than those who are hanging out free. Those who are on the streets, who are not in jail, they also stole the money, but they stole it in a legal way. All you need to do is go and read the story of Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs will be selling investments to their customers while laughing behind and saying, my God, this thing is toxic. Yes, they finally had to find them. I forgot how many hundreds of millions of dollars, but forget it. They've made their money. Henry Paulson used to be head of Goldman Sachs. By the time they were doing bailout, he was a minister of finance, you know, the World Committee of Finance, in the United States. Let's not go there. So everybody was stealing. You understand my point? Uh-huh. So you cannot put your faith in anybody. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize. You cannot. You must put your faith all the time in God. Say it again, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I am not afraid of tomorrow. Even though I have no money saved up, I'm still not afraid. Said my future is secure. Say like you believe it, my life is secure. Say God blesses me, and therefore my needs are supplied. Say I follow after righteousness. Now say soul, follow after righteousness. I speak to my soul. Say like you believe it, follow after righteousness. And all things will be added unto you. Say it, I follow after righteousness, and all things are added to me. Say, God makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He knows where my pastures are. I follow His leading, and I will never be disappointed. Say, He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. For this reason, I have a sound mind. Say it, I have a sound mind. I am not worried. I am not confused. And I remember what Requirement said. He said, worry is a sign that you have forgotten that God still supplies needs. Are you getting my point? That's what he says. That once you have forgotten, then you start worrying. Say it again, I am not worried.
I am not worried.
Because God is my supplier. Say, God is my provider. Say it again, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I will not want. Therefore, I will not lack anything. Say it, He leads me in the path of righteousness. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I am led by His Spirit. And I obey the will of God. Let me say, you know, as I was coming up just now, and I listened to messages in my car as I'm driving, the one I was listening to this afternoon was, by the way, I just thought about it this morning. Don't judge any message by the topic. Judge by who is preaching. I don't know what I heard what I said. You didn't hear me. I said, don't judge any message by the topic. Judge it by what? The preacher. If you see a message, it says by Pastor Banky, the second coming of the Lord, don't believe them. That it is Israel that gave it that title. Or maybe Felix, one of the two of them. All right? Or maybe Inca, I don't know. You know me, so you know the kind of things I will say. Are you getting my point? Just collect the message. If you want to hear me, you know, Ken Hagin said something long ago that the ministry gifts are people, human beings. So once I see Miles Monroe, no matter what he says, if he says the mechanism of building a house, I know it cannot be a book on engineering, a message on engineering. I don't know what I get my point. It cannot be. The house must be the house of God. The mechanism must be spiritual principles. It cannot be how to calculate the angle of elevation and then the strength of concrete. It can't be. We can't be calculating the gauge of steel wires there. It's not possible. It must be the house of God and how to use spiritual principles. All right? So, what I'm saying is that sometimes you hear me, like the one I was listening to, you know, I digress a bit. I hope you've learned something from that. The point I was making is that today I was listening to Derek Prince. And I was going through the collection I had in the car. I said, which one should I listen to? Which one should I listen to? Oh, marriage and this one, the prudent wife is from the Lord. I said, is that what I want to listen to this morning? But I just decided to choose it. Do you understand? Uh-huh. But you know, the truth is that I have, of course, I've listened to that message, don't worry. I've listened to that message, I'm sure, more than 30 times before, all right? That's just like me. But what I heard from it today, all right, was not even just on marriage. There are things on marriage, his story, his testimony, testimonies I thought I understood, then I hear that again, and then you hear it again, you understand? But it says something as I was coming up. That's where I want to get to. All right? He was talking on marriage, but now he's talking about the leading of the Spirit. He said the leading of the Spirit is in two categories. He said, number one, there's a general one, which we have discussed here before, and then there is a specific one. And he said that the general one is restricted to the knowledge of the Scriptures. I'm going somewhere. Now, some people say that it's your spirit. Forget that. I now wonder about that thing. The Holy Spirit can witness different ways. What you call your spirit is one of the ways. Do you understand my point? Yes, it's possible. It is possible. I'm not saying he doesn't do it. Don't get me wrong. But for you to say that that is the way by which God leads you, the believers, forget that one. The number one way God leads you is through the understanding of right and wrong according to scriptural perspective. You hear what I said? Number one way he leads is through what? Understanding right and wrong. That is why no matter how much your spirit says something, if you disagree with the word of God, don't disagree. Are you getting my point? It has disagreed. It has disagreed with your life. It has disagreed with everything. Even though you think my spirit is so strong in my spirit as I was sharing it. If it's not in accordance with the word of God, it is not correct. Are you getting my point? Now, I want to just emphasize that again, all right? Some of the last things I heard before I climbed upstairs, all right, this afternoon. But what I want to emphasize again is the fact that a lot of times, now listen to this, a lot of times that God is leading you, you are not even aware that he's leading you. That's what I want to emphasize. A lot of times he's leading. You are not even aware. You think you are just going normally. I don't know where you get my point. You just want to go and eat. It's food. It's, you're hungry. You know, people say that God doesn't lead you through your flesh. You don't know God well enough to be saying all those kind of things. He can. You just wake up. In fact, you know, I told you the day a fan fell right on top where I was sleeping. Do you understand my point? Just before it fell, I woke up and my stomach began to pain. And that was why I got up and went to the bathroom. By the time I came out, a fan had fallen down. And I said, no, God doesn't lead like that. The Holy Spirit will tap you and say, Banky, Banky, I don't want you to die now. Look. No, that was not what happened. I just woke up. I said, what did I eat? That's when I now understood that in the Bible, an angel smote, you know, King James, smote Peter on the side. You are getting my point? Yeah, angel smote Peter on the side. That's what it means. Well, maybe his own, maybe he felt it, you know, like, wake up. But my own, I woke up. What is going on? I got up. By the time I came back, a fan had fallen. It took it 2 years or so to gently, because it was shaking a bit, grind off the hook. And it dropped. And it's not the slight one, it's those heavy ones. Boom! I came, it was on my pillow. Yeah, literally. Who led me away? The same God. Did he do it through his spirit? Whatever, whichever way. All I know is I woke up. And after I woke the next morning, this was late in the night, maybe like around 11 o'clock, all right? Next day, there was nothing wrong with my stomach. So that's why I tell the story that, you know, an angel smote me. Sometimes God wants to deliver you from troubles. Your car spoils. Somebody disappoints you. I told the story of Jessica before, when she wanted to go to Abuja from Enugu, wanted to enter a bus. A bike man, whether it was a man or a spirit, carried her past where she wanted to stop, so she missed that bus. She met that bus in Lokoja burning with people inside. It had an accident, ran into a, or the other he ran into, or somebody, or they ran it into a tanker. Are you getting my point? Please, I know you. A lot of you have came up word of faith level. You say, no, Pastor, forget all of these things. I've told you, just leave God. What did I say? When I say leave now, I'm not saying you should depart from him. I mean, just let him do what he wants to do. He can lead you through his spirit. You know what I mean? What you call your spirit, all right? If you understand it, okay? He can lead you. It is possible that it's only when rain falls that God is telling you something. It's between you and him. Your own, or maybe when it snows in Nigeria, then you will know that the Holy Spirit has come, whichever way. Those are specific ones which each individual will learn with time. Demon Shakira said, one for him, one major thing was agreement between him and his wife. If he's planning something and his wife is not happy about it, it's not the will of God. Are you getting my point? Now, it's not as if I say, if you and your wife, it may be that you and your wife not be in agreement because one of you slew. But in his case, it wasn't like that. Derek Prince said the Lord used to speak to him. I mean, he would hear the words, I don't know how, but in King James English. Thou, my son, thou art quickened to proceed forth. Are you getting my point? The Lord wouldn't even talk to me about like that. He knows I don't read King James. I need to emphasize that. Let him lead whichever way he wants. The only one you can say God always leads like this is through the knowledge of the word of God. You go to a place, you want to walk somewhere. The application closed yesterday. Yesterday, and you appeared there today. And there's nothing anybody can do for you to help you get in. Don't be angry. See, why did they tell me on time? Why did they tell me on time? The way I've understood is that I just smile. This is not the will of God for me. I'm walking away. It is not the will of God for me. That's it. I'll do what is reasonable. Please, is it possible to get an extension? Who is the boss? There are things I have learned. You understand? I've learned these days. I'll just, okay, who is in charge? I walk with the person. I'm so sorry. I got to know about this just yesterday. I didn't know I was going to close that yesterday. Please, is it possible to get an... I'll do all of that. When I finish all of that, if he, at the end of the day, the answer is no. That's it. No. I won't be angry. Because God leads different ways. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So when we are declaring this, we are not joking. And don't say that I have not heard God speak to me before. How can you say you have not heard God speak to you? All this time I've been telling you, who has been speaking to you? All this teaching that we have been bringing forth, who do you think I've been talking to you? You say it's banking? No. I'm a messenger. What am I? So God has been talking to you. Amen? Don't say that. You know, some people say they heard the voice of God. Don't worry. When you get to heaven, you will hear everything. While you're on this earth, once you hear instructions, the word of God, that's good enough. That's the only thing you're allowed to desire. As for visions, it's not compulsory. What about dreams? It's not compulsory. Are you getting my point? If when they happen, they happen. You don't pray, God, I want... No, you don't dictate to him how he must speak. There are different ways. But one thing is sure, if your heart is right, are you getting my point? If your heart is correct, let me say it again. The problem is with your heart. If it is correct, God will always lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Therefore, let's declare it like we believe it. You understand? You know, we made that statement. I just want us to understand what we are saying. Say it again. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Say like you believe it. Say, my steps are ordered by the Lord. I am led by his Spirit. And I walk always in the will of God. Let's say it again. Say, I'm led by his Spirit. Say it, I'm led by his Spirit. My steps are ordered by God. I walk in the will of God. Say it, I walk in the will of God. Listen, we don't want to teach on how God leads. Now, maybe we'll get back to it again, just to emphasize some things for people. The fact that you have not heard the voice does not mean you are not in the will of God. You hear what I said? Oswald Chambers said that only the sick man understands what health is. That if you are healthy, you don't understand what health is. It's only when you have had a bout of sickness, you will now be able to explain what health is. He said the will of God also only makes sense to those who have been out of the will of God. I don't know whether I heard that. That if you are always walking in the will of God, you won't even know you are in the will of God. I don't know whether I get the point. That you'll just be walking normally. And what he was trying to emphasize is that that's what the will of God is supposed to be for the people of God. That is their... In fact, this is actually what God is doing. You know, I don't know how many of you got the sermon I sent out today, all right? I explained what God is doing in the lives of believers. He's just trying to convert... You know, how do I say it now? To birth fully the Spirit of Christ inside people. What does the Spirit of Christ mean? People make this mistake. Oh, I'm teaching on leading now. Why am I teaching on leading? Somebody wants an answer. Okay. All right. You'll get it. Okay. But let me just be quick and leave this matter. All right. The meaning of the word spirit in the scriptures, people often misunderstand it. It's such a... The meaning is wide. When they say God is spirit, that's the meaning. That one was just trying to explain to you that God is not physical. That's what he was trying to say. That it's not just those, you know, not just those things that you see, these steps, you know, these kind of things, do this law, sacrifice this animal. He said, no, God is not a physical being. God is in the realm of the spirit. That's the better way to say it in today's English. God is a spiritual being. That is, it's not as opposed to physical. Another way you see the word spirit All right? Which is also in the scriptures. In fact, the one that, let me just emphasize, there are many of them. Okay? Is when he talks about the propelling force, the center of the thing that is pushing you through life. That is the central thing. The Spirit of Christ. What do you mean by the Spirit of Christ? Is that same thing that's propelling Christ. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. And I say, Spirit is not a tangible thing. Like I said, there are different meanings. You have to read it in context. So when he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Let me tell you that most of you have never heard this side of it before. Because most Pentecostals look at this other side. That the Holy Spirit will be whispering to you. No. That's not what I'm saying. As many as are propelled, when the core substance, are you getting my point? The main thing in their life that is pushing them is that Spirit of God, which means, as an example, Jesus didn't always hear God to heal somebody. What used to move him? Bible says that compassion moved him. That is the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of compassion. It's not just that, it's not every time that they say, the Lord began to speak to me to give that brother money. Alright? The Lord began to speak to me. God can speak to you to give somebody money. Are you getting my point? But the one that speaks to you more frequently is that you perceive his need and you have the resources. That is the Spirit of God. The Spirit that cannot just watch and let somebody just languish in suffering when he has the power to solve it. I'm waiting for somebody to come and say, hey, should I give money? If I want the way to raise money for something. Brethren, we're trying to get money. So one brother talked to another one. That one said, let me go and pray about it. So that guy just said, just forget, don't bother praying about it. You know, like, he didn't tell him like that, but in his mind, that listen, I know the amount of money you have. If you have to pray about this, you're not disposed. Are you getting my point? It's like coming to me now. He said, please, just imagine it, that we're trying to gather money, whether I will give $10,000 to or something. All right? And I said, let me go and pray about it. You know, that's a nice way of telling you that, look, please, I don't want to give to it. Yes, that's it. Because what am I praying about giving you $10,000 to something for? If I ordinary vexation, you know, there are times, you get my point? There are times you even give money because you don't want to be disturbed. I don't know whether you get my point. You get to the office, you say, oh, this is where I'm coming again. You all put money in an envelope. You don't want to see them. I've done it before. You give to people. If these people come, give them this envelope so that they won't come back. When they see the envelope, they will leave me alone. Yes, so I'm going to start going, let me go and pray. What I'll give. So that brother told the other ones, he's like, just forget it. I know what you can afford. For you to be praying about this, your spirit is not disposed. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So it's not everything you're going to say, let me go and pray. Let me go and pray. You know, sometimes I want to joke now. You're definitely doing this my joke. And that's true, I won't talk. If you propose to a woman, she wants to pray about it. She doesn't like you. Now half joke. Now half the joke. I mean, you understand my point? After 1 month, she's still praying. She doesn't like you. Forget it. I've told you before, when you are persecuted in one city, what do you do? It's in the Bible. It's not me that said it. It's the word of God. And if you're a woman, you've been praying for 1 month, forget you don't like him. Unless there are serious issues in which we should discuss. Are you getting my point? Which one is... just joking. The Lord is good. Let me go on with my message. The Lord is good. Now, why did I say that? Listen, the fact that you have not heard words doesn't mean you are not being led by the Spirit of God. That's what I'm going to emphasize. When you remove the spirit of this world, what is the spirit of this world? Pride, covetousness, vainglory, competition. If those things are not in what you are doing, all right, as a Christian, you have been led by the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God? The Spirit of love. The Spirit of giving. Are you getting my point? Want to be a blessing to people. That's it. You know, you have this thing inside. You know these words that you are speaking. All right? We help people. So you set up a small place where you can give them those words. You say, God has not spoken to me yet, so go and start a small fellowship. You're not trying to start a fellowship. You're not trying to start a church. I don't get my point. You just find that if I go to this school once every week, I can help these young people. And you start going there. If God doesn't like you, he will call you one day through different methods and say, oh girl, oh boy, I think you should stop. If he hasn't said it, you have been led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the right spirit. Are you get what I'm trying to explain? Yes, it's that right thing, that right spirit. Spirit that wants to give, that wants to help, that's not vainglorious. I'm not doing this because I heard now that Emeka is doing something somewhere. And I heard the other day that Stanley has started too. What am I doing? Are you getting my point? Like, no, let them not, those boys, they are now more spiritual than me. I don't know what I get my point. So let me start my own so that they will understand that seniority did the spirituality. That is a competitive spirit. That one, you are walking according to the spirit of this age. Being led by the Spirit of God doesn't mean I pray or pray until my spirit becomes still and then I hear a voice. Some of those voices you are hearing are confusing voices. And the most popular of the voices, the most common, is the voice of your own desire. It's rare. It happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It is rare for a man to go and pray about a girl he likes and Holy Spirit won't say marry her. It's rare. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I just say it is rare. And I have personally witnessed many before. After Holy Spirit said marry her, she still did not marry him. I wonder how I just smiled to myself. So that voice you heard, brother, was the voice of desire. The voice of the thing you really wanted. Because you're a Pentecostal Christian now, you have to color it with spirituality. You have to take time out and pray. Before you went there, God knew you had made up your mind. He said, are you saying he can't change your mind? You know, God knows something. You think God can just change people's mind? No. Sometimes he can't, in quote. Can't, in quote, now. What do I mean by that? He knows that if I want to change this boy's mind, he will cast me out. So Holy Spirit said, lest I be cast out, let me wait. I will go and block his way another way. The Holy Spirit will color the girl's eyes when you are coming back. When you are showing up like this, you'll be seeing horn on your head. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. One way or the other, you will enter into the will of God for your life. That's your name, amen. That's why I declare it again. Say, I am walking in the will of God.
I may not have heard voices,
but I'm walking in the will of God. Because my heart belongs to Him. Say it loud, my heart belongs to Him. Let's make a declaration again. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Do with it according to your will. Lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. Please pray this prayer. Allah said, Lord, let me never depart from your will. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I confess again that Jesus is Lord. I confess again that Jesus is Lord over my life. Say, I live for Him alone. I live for Him alone. I live for Him who died for my sake. I live for Him who rose up again on my behalf. Lord, I belong to You. Lord, You I will serve always. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you said those prayers, say it again. I am walking in the will of God. I am walking in the will of God. I am not walking in my own will. I am walking in the will of God. No matter how it, appears like outside, the Holy Spirit is leading me. God is directing my steps. God is leading me in the path of righteousness. He is leading me into my predetermined destiny. And I will glorify Him. All things are working together for my good. Even my disappointments. Even my setbacks. They are working together for my good. You know, somebody said something some time ago. He said, your life is like a soup. You know, like a pot of soup that's been cooked. You know, many of those ingredients, if you taste them on their own, they are not nice. Take salt, put it in your mouth. I'm sure you don't like the taste. Just take, you know, dry salt, put it in your mouth. It doesn't taste nice. Is it ogri? You know that one? It smells bad. There are many things you use inside there. Take this, this cocoyam, that small one. Chop it raw small. You know you like them. Are you getting my point? Many of the things, even the oil. Have you ever tried just licking ordinary oil? It doesn't have a very nice taste. But when you put it together, somebody say together.
Yeah.
When you put it together, your neighbors will come and greet you. Are you getting my point? I was just passing. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you put it together, that is when the taste comes out. Listen, even the negative things of your life, no matter how bad they are, I was raped, not raped. No matter how bad, every single thing is working together for your good.
Amen.
Go and listen to the story of Joyce Meyer. If she didn't pass through what she passed through, she won't be Joyce Meyer that you know today. I hope you are getting my point. Say it again. I'm walking in the will of God. God is working out his will in me. He's working out his will in me. You know, the power, one of the major things about God, you know, about Christianity, Christ, is that the fact that he brings life out of death. That's one thing. That's why he came and he died. So that he can always bring life out of death. Let's not teach for that. We're not going to do our teaching for it. Let's just declare it again. I am walking in the will of God. God is walking his will in my life. Declare it. God is walking his will in my life. Let's just say this before we go. Say, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil. I have divine enablement. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can face the challenges of life. And I will fulfill the assignment of God for my life. My life is not an accident. I was born on purpose. And I will fulfill that purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's say it one more time. Say, I have all my needs met. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. And I abound to every good work. Say, behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river. Say it again. He causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Lack is not my portion. Say, favor is my portion. Doors open for me. Doors open for me. Say it again. Say, doors open for me. I want you to say it one more time. Say, doors open for me. Listen, doors that men said were closed, they will open for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Places where they say you need to know a president to enter, you will walk in there as if they were waiting for you.
Amen.
That's what it means to have favor on your side.
Amen.
Say, favor is on my side.
Favor is on my side.
Because I'm beloved of the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus and take your seats. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Everything we have done so far is Psalm 23, part of it analyzed. Do you understand that? The word of God is rich. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, the word of God is very, very, very rich. Let's continue our teaching, how to deal with the devil in your life. And today I want to talk about strongholds. What did I call it?
Strongholds.
Strongholds. All right? Because we spend a lot of time doing our recharging. You know, your life must be charged all the time. Yeah, you should charge yourself all the time, every day. Charge it, charge it, charge your batteries. You can't just wake up and be walking around life, you know, without power. All right? And that's how you do it, by infusing the power of God into your life by the release of his words. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, because of time, all right, let me just quickly get into my main teaching, that is without giving too many preambles. I want to just quickly explain the meaning of the word stronghold first. Let's start from that. People often misunderstand what the Bible says when it uses the word stronghold, especially as we read it in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Quickly, let's start from that 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, because the word stronghold is used primarily in the King James version, I will just read that one first, and then I will not get switched to the one I use normally. That's New American Standard. Now, Paul was talking about his relationship with the Corinthians. And he said, I didn't want to come to them charging, like we say in today's English, angry, being bold towards them. But they had been accusing him of writing letters that are very potent. But when he comes around, he's very soft-spoken. And he said he had his reason for it. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to bring out is the fact that he said from verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That is using the principles of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's the King James rendering of it. I'm just so addicted to my own usual Bible, so I'd like to quickly switch over to that. So the word he uses in my own script version is fortresses, New American Standard. He said that, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, I'll read further in a moment, but let me just say something. People often look at fortresses, strongholds, like find the King James, as problems in people's lives. What do I mean? You've heard it said, people will tell you that, you know, in your family, nobody marries. In your family, nobody makes money. There is a stronghold. There is a stronghold, and you want to break the stronghold. You've heard it before? If you've not heard it before, you're a Catholic. You don't go to Pentecostal churches. If you go to even an Anglican church, you've heard it before. There are many things Catholics are safe from. Honestly, the Lord is good. All right. Anyway, you hear it around. You hear it around. People blame every problem and they call it a stronghold. Now, please, let me try my best not to appear as if I'm saying that there are no problems in life. All right? They exist. Number one, that's not what the Bible calls a stronghold. And number two, even though those problems, you find it, you know, in a family, amongst close friends, the reason why those things are there, now, before I tell you the reasons, when people say strongholds like that, what they mean at such times is demonic arrangement. That certain devils have gathered together and have said that this family, nobody will make it. Certain devils have gathered together that there was a covenant that was made between the Arab people and the Ngo people. Omar was preaching, he said that one day. I heard it somewhere. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I said, bros, the Holy Spirit told you this. He said, research in the library. I said, okay. Just for your information, there's no way in the world people were not doing evil before. Your village zone is not peculiar. Your grandfather's evil is not unusual. My great-grandfather must have been a spiritual criminal too, just like your own. Yes, we must understand that. If you are outside Christ, you are capable of anything. But most importantly, is that now that you are in Christ, all things have passed away. Please say amen to that.
Amen.
It's very important. The fact that your ancestors were criminals, once their criminality could not stop you from giving your life to Christ, Satan don't lose. You hear what I said? Once their spiritual problems could not stop you from saying, Lord, I give you my life. Too late. Too late. So when people say those stronghold things, that's what they mean a lot of times. That the ancestors, they did this thing. Somebody placed a curse upon the family. Therefore, there's a stronghold. And that hold is strong. That's why it's called a stronghold. So tonight, we are going to make the oppressed go free. Now, you know the interesting thing? Oppressed should go free. Amen? But what do you think, from knowledge of the scriptures, actually makes the oppressed go free? It is what? It is what? Truth. And you shall know what? The truth. And the oppressed shall be free. Do you understand my point? And you see the relevance of that in a moment. It is not by casting out demons. Please get my point. I've seen people gather, they say they want to pray to break the stronghold over a city. Well, I won't claim to know much about that. I'll just recommend a book for you, Triumphant Church by Kenneth Hagin. I referred to it before. Please go and read it. Now, let's get back to what a real stronghold is. I want to say two things. The same thing anyway. Which one do I say first? Okay.